Hello there, thank you for tuning in. Welcome to the eLearning Champion Pod. My name is Sherna and I'll be your host for this podcast. Thank you for your responses and feedback on our previous episodes. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome again. This is the eLearning Champion Pod, your home to everything eLearning and hosted by Comlab India. Here we discuss the ins and outs of eLearning, learning technologies and e-learning trends that impact corporate training. Your success matters to us, and that's why we bring you what matters to you. In this podcast, we are throwing the spotlight on the raging e-learning trends for 2024. And yes, we have our expert Shalini Merugu joining us. Allow me to introduce you to all our listeners. Shalini is a versatile learning design professional with 18 plus years of diverse experience in instructional design, learner and user assistance solutions, designing as well as delivering customer training. She's passionate about working with customers in developing performance-enhancing learning experiences that achieve measurable business results. This includes analyzing customers' training needs, developing actionable roadmaps tailored to each client's unique requirements, and creative strategies to maximize learning. She leverages the strengths of various modalities to design effective, rapid e-learning blended solutions and performance support materials. Shalini conducts customer education workshops, both in person and virtual globally. All that and still counting, she got a great hand in this domain. And that is exactly why she's the best fit to share insights on this topic. Hi, Shalini. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
Thanks, Sherna, for that very warm welcome.
Yes. So in the last few podcasts that we did, we looked at how artificial intelligence, also known as AI, enhances the learning ecosystem, right? And how it can be leveraged to create effective blended learning solutions. AI undoubtedly is a popular trend. And we've all been identifying certain trends based on our own experience within our organizations or while collaborating with other organizations, you know. And every year we've seen a tremendous transformation in the way we work, especially more so in the post-pandemic era. We've seen global trends such as the Great Resignation, Great Rebalancing, and certain very Gen Z specific trends like quiet quitting, buzzing in the news. Now, as we come to a close of this, what are the trends for us in L&D? Right? And how are these predictions going to impact us?
True, Sherna. We've also noticed a significant shift in what our customers are approaching us for. So what I'm sharing today is a consolidation of what we're seeing out there and what we are seeing in here among our customer organizations as we work with them as an extension of their team. So as you, already touched on, the first trend that we notice in the L&D space is the increasing use of AI. Many of you have already begun using them, and a lot of you are planning to use them and are perhaps still in the researching phase. And I'd like to share some tools for the design and development phase of the e-learning. This is for those who may have missed the previous podcast.
Right.
So for content creation, there are generative AI tools like ChatGPT, which we've been using, and Google Bard, which can really help us in significantly reducing the time to put this content together, and even in framing learning objectives and so on, and also in framing summaries. And then we have text-to-video tools, which help us to come up with very rapid learning solutions that we can roll out to our learners. Synthesia is an example. Capwing is another.
Right.
And when it comes to assessments, there are tools like PrepAI and QuizBot, which churn out assessments based on the content we give it, based on the Bloom's level we ask it to provide the assessments for. And we can also use ChatGPT to also come up with creating scenario-based assessments, provided the inputs that we provide are sound.
Right.
So immersive scenario-based learning is another way. Another area where we can leverage these AI tools. And of course, when it comes to gamification and increasing employee engagement, AI-driven platforms really deliver the goods, and we have Centrical and Mindtickle and so on. So, now coming to the development part of it, as I mentioned earlier, Synthesia and Beyond Go make excellent video-based learning.
Yeah.
Now, when this started, you know, in the initial days, text-to-video conversions were still a little raw, and a lot of us were not very comfortable. But now with the latest versions being released, the output is stunning, and we've been using them extensively, both in-house and with our customers, and found them really effective. Coming to images, we have, of course, Photoshop. We have Air Magic, Canva. These last two are driven by prompts, and the sky's the limit. It all depends on how we use our input prompts to get the kind of output that we are looking for. For illustrated graphics creation, we have Midjourney and Canva again. Another interesting tool, you know, which is again AI-based, is the Dectopus AI, which comes up with very well-crafted presentations.
Right.
And then we have tools like Repurpose.io for generating social media content. And not just social media content, but we've also used it for generating content to create excitement for upcoming learning initiatives. You know, perhaps a quick teaser just to build up that momentum and that anticipation for an upcoming training. And then for translations, we have tools like DeepL, Google Translate. And for voiceovers, we have Speechalo, Speechify, Murph AI. And then for text-to-speech, there are again a whole lot of tools.
Right,
Amazon Polly, Speech Studio from Microsoft, Well Said Labs. So what I've mentioned today are just a couple of the tools that we have been checking out, we've been using. So there are, of course, a whole lot of them out there. And I think all of us can go and really start testing them, you know, because you also have free trial versions,
right,
which we can check out before we make any investment in any of them. So all of these development tools basically significantly reduce the time and effort that is required to come up with solutions in various formats. And then, of course, we also have other tools to add to the L&D professionals toolkit, which can be leveraged very powerfully at the organization level. Creating personalized learning journeys for our learners is now trending. There was a time when we were rolling out training initiatives and building up curriculums painstakingly. But now we are looking at the entire learning journey and creating journey maps. With AI-enabled technology and tools like MagicPath, the drudge and the magnitude of what is involved is taken well care of. And then we have interesting tools like virtual coaching tools. Coaching, again, has become a huge thing today. And not just face-to-face meetings with coaches, with the live coaches, but we have coaching tools, AI-driven coaching tools like Coach Hub and Noah Coach. These are essentially chatbots, but with a persona. So the experience for the learner is like they're interacting with a live human being. And they adapt to the learner's responses, and give recommendations. So that makes it really dynamic and exciting. So the whole landscape was transformed when AI entered the picture. And what we can do with these tools is still, it's so mind-boggling. And I'm sure there's a lot for us to explore. But I hope that I've piqued your interest.
Yes, absolutely. Like the buzz around AI is really interesting, and like how much it can innovate in L&D is really mind-boggling. And you've mentioned a few ways in which we can harness AI, right? But how do we distinguish the hype from the reality? And what does it take to leverage them well?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sheila. You know, when AI hit the scene, I think there was a lot of concerns during the rounds. A lot of people predicted that AI would just take over our jobs.
Right.
But I saw this interesting quote, which I'm sure all of you have heard by now, that it's not AI that's going to take your job. It's probably the human who knows how to use AI who may replace you. So I think AI is a fantastic assistant, but you still do need a human to drive it. because the output is only as good as the input that is being given to it by us. Now, how do we use AI as an assistant? As I just mentioned, there are so many tools that can help you design and develop faster and create all kinds of innovative solutions, including micro-learning solutions. Now, the onus is on us as users of these tools to be informed and keep ourselves updated. So AI and technology are areas we need to be informed about, be in touch with what are the latest tools, ensure that our teams are trained to use them. And otherwise, the output is bound to be disappointing.
Right.
So, the best way to leverage this is to use a combination of these tools for the best possible output. So there are certain, as I mentioned, there are certain tools in the development phase. There are certain tools which can be best used during the design phase. So leverage them together and have a basket of tools to be able to generate the best output. A quick word of caution here. Be a little careful when you're selecting the tools because some of these are still in the beta version and are evolving rapidly.
Right.
However, yes. The good news is there are a lot of free trial versions. So you may not have access to all the capabilities that come with the free trial version, but it still gives you a good indication of what you can use that tool to help you with. So like you mentioned, Sherna, rapidly, using AI for rapid design and development is really going to unleash a wave of creativity and transform the way we do design, the way we do development. So our role as e-learning champions is to leverage them to get in that efficiency and that creativity that we need as an L&D function and that our learners need to stay engaged and active participants in the learning. So that was the first trend. I'd like to now jump into the second trend, which is that of upskilling and reskilling.
Right. Yes. I think we've seen this trend even last year, if I'm not wrong, right? Upskill, reskill.
Yes. Yes.
Are there any specifics on this that you can touch upon?
Yeah, Shirna, you're right. This is something that's not going away in a hurry. And I'd like to share a few things that we need to keep in mind. How do we ensure that our learning resonates with multiple generations of learners? I know that's another added challenge. Now, while there are certain skills that all of us need to develop, we need to also take a step back and see who are the people in our learning ecosystem, who are our learners.
Right.
I know a lot of us have experienced the hybrid work model and looks like it is there to stay in a lot of organizations now.
Right.
So that's something, we need to keep in mind.
Right. Yeah. I think the primary challenge of ensuring all employees in a hybrid workplace get equal access to learning, which I think is easier said than done.
Right, right. And I'd like to just stretch the definition of hybrid a little here, Sherna, because hybrid I feel doesn't necessarily mean just the geographical nature of it.
Right.
But also the multi-generational workforce that we have. Mm. And, there are significant generational trends that we see. The shifts in the way the different generations approach work, their philosophy towards work, their philosophy towards learning, their ease with using technology, and so on. You'll find that the digital natives are so hyper-networked, they are quick to adopt technology and trends, and they are self-learners. They absorb knowledge all the time. And then we have the Gen Y, which continuously seeks opportunities. They're motivated, they want to see results. They are the techno-savvy generation, but they're not really the digital natives. And then we have the Gen X, very focused. Work is a contract for them. They are proactive about their own development. They are also technically savvy and have quickly adapted to technology and in many cases even mastered it. So, if we take a pulse check, if you look at the techno-savviness of each of these generations, I don't think there's a very striking difference left anymore because all of us have been using all kinds of technology,
right,
both in our informal learning as well as in our formal learning initiatives.
Right.
Nevertheless, it's a good thing to keep at the back of our mind that the multi-generations that we are providing learning to, because while there are a lot of similarities, there are also some distinct differences. So we need to keep these in mind when we are designing learner experiences.
Right. Right. I think that is why AI-driven tools can help us cater to multiple learner preferences. So
yes.
Coming to skills, what are the key skills in focus for L&D and training professionals?
Right. Again, I'd like to set the stage before responding to that question, Shaina. For those of you who missed our previous podcasts, here are some interesting statistics. The World Economic Forum, the Future of Work Report 2023 says that 44% of workers' core skills are expected to change in the next 5 years, which means a lot of skills are also going to become obsolete. And the need for new skills is coming up so fast that within the next 5 years, what worked today would no longer work to that degree in the workplace of the future. Now, are we able to meet that need? There are constant challenges to keep up with this constant demand and supply what is needed at the learner's point of need, at our organization's point of need. So the need for upskilling and reskilling is indeed one trend that we see. And AI and big data are top training priorities, you know, among some of the core skills which are in focus. I'd like to throw one interesting stat here. AI and big data have been identified as the number three priority for company training strategies until 2027. And the number one priority for companies with more than 50,000 employees. So data-driven analytics, data visualization, all of these, you know, big data, and these are really skills that we would need to really be right. A little informed about, because these yes. are the things which will inform our content strategy, our training strategy going forward. Right. Now, the biggest challenge that organizations face today is in transformation, achieving, you know, the kind of transformation that they hope for. And the barrier there is the skill gap. So the need for upskilling and reskilling is gaining more and more importance. And yes, you're right. It was trending last year. It continues to trend this year. And given what I just shared, you know, about those skills, we need fresh skills in the next 5 years. I don't think it's going to go away.
Yeah.
I'd like to mention something else here. This is again, you know, from the same report that I referenced. Six mm-hmm. in 10 workers will require training before 2027, but only half of them have access to adequate training opportunities today.
So
just think about it for a moment. If you have a team size of, say, 10, six out of those 10 would need training, but only half of them, you know, only three of them would have access to the training opportunities. So you can imagine the impact that has on the performance, not only of the individuals as individuals, but also the team as a whole. So I'll very quickly touch upon the top 10 skills, which are really on the rise. And these have been bucketed into various categories. Cognitive skills, which involve creative thinking, analytical thinking. Then we have self-efficacy skills, which are to do with resilience, flexibility, agility, lifelong learning. And then we have self-awareness, which also includes emotional intelligence. Incidentally, one of the key things that employers are looking for today.
Right.
And then you have your management skills and your technology skills, digital literacy, technological literacy. And when it comes to working with others, you also have skills like systems thinking, which involves not only approaching things from one angle, but seeing the integrated whole, which again involves getting cross-functional views. And that means collaborating with others. And then the engagement skills, which are required in customer service and service orientation, and so on.
Right.
So those are some key skills which are in focus, not just for our organizations and our teams, but I think for us as L&D professionals, the best way to lead our teams is to begin upskilling ourselves in these areas to begin with. And we don't have to be, you know, masters at each of them, but having a basic working understanding of what those are and what it takes to develop those kind of skill sets in our teams is very important. So with that, let me move to the next trend, which is that of micro-learning. Microlearning, for those who are new to it, is a very flexible approach that can be used in various ways. So micro refers to small focused learning. So it still is to do with acquisition of new knowledge, skills, and abilities. And the end goal is always improving performance. So as with any other training initiative, what we do needs to be aligned with the desired performance that, you know, we want our learners to have, which in turn cascades down from what is it that our business wants to achieve.
Right.
It's only once we have the business outcomes in place and the desired performance in place, it's only then can we drill down into the performance-based learning objectives, which really is the foundation for any of our learning, any of our trainings.
Right.
So as with anything else, you know, the form follows the function. So we don't just dive hastily into microlearning before we do the groundwork. But yes, this is definitely an increasing trend. And if you think about it, Shreena, I think all of us do it on an everyday basis in our informal learning.
Right.
I'm sure if you, you know, try to think back about how you spent your time last week, I'm sure, right, you know, you will be able to identify that probably you did spend some time looking up some learning video, just a 3 to 5 minute quick video, a bite-sized learning nugget.
Yeah.
And we do it all the time informally. And now within organizations, microlearning is trending because it does enable us to learn in the flow of work without it disrupting employee schedules.
Right. That's so true. In our own informal learning as well, like we do leverage micro learning unconsciously all the time. Like sometimes even just while browsing LinkedIn or something of that sort,
yes,
we get to see learning, small learning videos, like you said, like just 3 to 5 minutes, and we're like, oh, we just view it and leave it.
Yeah.
So watching quick micro learning videos is almost like a default format for many of us now, right?
True. Yeah.
When it comes to developing these solutions, what do you think helps in ensuring adoption?
Right. So there are all kinds of microlearning platforms that help us to create that excitement and to create those bite-sized learning experiences. QStream is one of our platforms. Then you have other platforms like Nobi. So it really depends on what you're using. If you're using a microlearning platform or whether you're using a regular LMS. Now, regardless of what you're using, you can still design and develop microlearning solutions. And I think highlighting the benefits and highlighting the fact that microlearning can be used in the flow of work is bound to help in adoption.
Right.
And of course, there's this added aspect of advocacy for it in terms of manager involvement, manager support.
Right.
So that's something that helps in adoption of any kind of, you know, learning for that matter. I think it's just a matter of developing the right habits. One simple way I would recommend, you know, that we can make a change in the culture, in the learning culture of our organizations, is we could encourage employees that instead of diving into their mails at the beginning of the day, they could consciously take a 3 minute micro learning module break. I mean, I wouldn't call it a break because you'd really be starting the day with it, but a 3 minute time, period set apart just for a quick learning bite. So when this is encouraged as part of the company culture, it is bound to gain traction. So actually, you know, this brings me to the next trend, that of video-based learning. You also mentioned that, Shreena, you know, that all of us are constantly clicking on some video-based learning, something which improves knowledge, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's YouTube. So I'd like to share some interesting stats. 1 billion hours of content is being consumed on YouTube alone.
Wow.
And, you know, research by 3M Corporation shows that the brain processes visuals 60,000 times faster than text. So I think that old adage, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, still rings very true.
Yes.
And when it's in the form of animated videos, I think that just takes the learning and the retention much higher.
Correct. So I remember reading somewhere that About 75% of people are more likely to watch a video than read documents, emails, or PDFs, or you know, articles for that matter.
Right. That's true, Jenna. And especially more so when we talk about the Gen Z workforce, I suspect that percentage may be even higher. So basically, I would like to just summarize and say that microlearning is a win-win for both learners and the organization, because it really does significantly improve, you know, the learning and the retention. And video-based learning improves, you know, microlearning, which is also video-based, is a powerful combination.
Yes,
so correct. That and these can be made available at the point of need. And that's the beauty of these short learning formats. Now, the next trend is that of rapid design and development, which is not surprising because given the huge need, you know, the compelling urgent need for upskilling and reskilling, how do we roll out solutions in time? So this is where rapid design and development continues to be a significant trend, because we're all looking at faster, quicker, more agile solutions.
Right.
So our training initiatives to our learners need to be made ready in the least possible time.
Correct. Okay, so this brings me to a quick question. What is your estimation of the time required for designing and developing of, say, a 30-minute e-learning?
Oh, well, traditionally, it was anywhere between 1 to 2 months or even 3 months in some cases. But, you know, with the kind of tools we have at our disposal and the different strategies that we can use, we really do have good news when it comes to rapid design and development. I'd like to just introduce what we call the 4 R's of rapid learning.
Right.
Where, you know, the first R is we can quickly redesign ILT to online learning.
Okay.
And existing ILT materials to online learning. And the other R, which is the record option, where we can save the subject matter experts time by recording their presentation, you know, having them walk through presentations. Then we redesign the slides, we streamline the narration and roll these out as MP4 trainings, which also capture the voice of the SME in the sense that, you know, we can retain the unique anecdotes, the war stories, and so on.
Right.
And the other R is we can rebuild existing courses as micro learning. And the last R is that we can republish legacy courses and give them a fresh lease of life. Because, you know, we've invested so much time and effort in creating great content, which has a long shelf life. So what the need now is to roll them out through mobile devices. And this is where we can republish for mobile compatibility. So, you know, this is with this redesign strategy, you can also convert some of that content into performance support and blended learning solutions, which, again, you know, is a hot favorite. So basically, it just really depends on what we are trying to accomplish. But these 4 R's we found, you know, are very powerful ways in which we can just leverage, in which we can really cut down the time for design and development.
Right.
And yeah.
Right. So that was the rapid design and development trend, right? And I think with AI, it's only going to enhance our efficiency and our ability to scale up is only going to get better. That said, there are still a lot of volumes that hit us. There are needs from different stakeholders with multi-generational workforce that need to be met now. So how do we deal with this? How do we build this capability within our L&D teams?
Yeah, that's a good question, Shaina. And this is where, you know, we have seen another trend, which is that of staff augmentation. As you mentioned, with hybrid teams and Gen Z entering the workforce, how do we address the needs of these diverse learners given the sheer volume and demand? Can we really afford to double our team size to meet this demand? So this is where staff augmentation really is becoming an increasing trend. So let me begin with a quick definition. Staff augmentation, you know, for those who are new to it, is hiring specific skill sets on a temporary basis. And these professionals would work as an extension of your own internal team. So think of this in the context of our L&D requirements and the skill sets that we need urgent access to. So this is where staff augmentation really plays a big role. Now, it is true that most of us have strong design teams in-house. But with the need for scale and speed in rolling out learning initiatives and getting access to expertise in specific areas, staff augmentation really helps here. You know, you can just zero in on hiring the specific skill sets that you need to fill the gap. And it also frees up the internal teams to work on high priority proprietary projects, confidential projects, and so on. And with staff augmentation, you can also leverage the rapid development well, with the internal team probably defining the strategy and the skill sets that you hire, helping in scaling up quickly and executing the deliverables in time for you to, in time so that the training is rolled out at the point of need. You know, just when, because there's a sense of urgency here, which kind of, I think all of us are familiar with. So, and then we can also enjoy error-free, hassle-free translations. So you can get the best of both worlds, where you work with people who are speaking your language, who have core skill sets to augment your own internal team's strong capabilities, and who work as one team. So, it could be, you could probably look at staff augmentation in terms of just ID skill sets or Articulate Suite expert developers, or beyond Synthesia developers, graphic designers, even project managers, LMS administrators, video developers, Camtasia experts, Courseware developers, QA executives, and even learning architects. So these are some things, you know, where we can really unleash our organization's potential by teaming up in a very strategic way and picking up specific skill sets without having them permanently on our payroll.
Right. This is really interesting. Staff augmentation is really buzzing in the news, right? A lot of, we're hearing a lot about it.
Right.
Yes, wow. Now that was an interesting session. Thank you, Shalini, for taking the time out. I'm sure the listeners have a lot to take away from this podcast. Looking forward to an amazing 2024 ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Shirna. It's a pleasure to share what we've distilled from our own experience, you know, with the larger team.
Right. And it's a pleasure to hear you as well.
Thank you.
And yes, dear listeners, thank you for listening to the eLearning Champion Pod. If you haven't subscribed to us yet, please do so on the platform you're listening to us from. To learn more about anything eLearning in corporate training, share your feedback or topic suggestions, check out our website at www.comlabindia.com. Feel free to follow us on your favorite social media channels to stay in touch. Until next time, thank you. We'll see you again.